Excellent. As Sonia said 2 weeks ago, we are not in fight. It just happened that we travel separately, nothing else. I just want to say big thank you for what a great morning. I really, really, really enjoy the presence of God with you guys. I just love being here. I really, really love being here. Thank you so much for taking care of my family. You know, Eva was with you for 2 years, and I really appreciate that. It's really so cool to know that your daughter is miles and miles away, but she's in a family, in a good place, and you really took good care of her. You know, thank you for having Sonia 2 weeks ago, and thank you for having me today. for everybody who is new here, let me just sort it out dilemma straight away. If I sound familiar, that's because I sound like a guru from Despicable Me, okay? Or I sound like a count from Sesame Street, so that's why I sound familiar for you. Vlada from Serbia, from Niš, been here for quite a few years, long time ago, back in Serbia, church planting, working in a bringing God's kingdom in a place where there is not much things happens, and it's a great privilege to be in a place like that, and it's a great privilege to have a friends like you who's supporting us in many different ways. We will never be able to do this without your support, without your prayer, just without knowledge that there is a family there who thinks about you and stands behind you. That means a lot. It helps you to not feel so lonely when you're in a hard place like Serbia, like cities and places where nothing else exists. It means a lot to be on the front line and knowing there is a great people standing behind you, praying, supporting you, and I really welcome you because of that. I praise you because of that, because it's a really honorable thing. It means a lot to me, to my family. I want to take you to the Ephesians chapter 1. If you want to follow, I want to talk about Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. And I think it's absolutely amazing. There is so much wisdom in just that prayer. There is great things that can encourage us, fill our heart, put us in the right direction, put us in the right path to see everything that God has for us in our lives. Chapter 15 goes like this. For this reason, even since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the might strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him, his right hand, in the heavenly realms. Far above all the rules and authority, power and dominion, and every name that was invoked, not only in the present age, but is the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, his fullness, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. Sight is one of the most valuable things we possess. We all agree that we don't want to lose our eyes. We don't want to lose our sight. Your life will be drastically different if you lose your eyes, lose your sight, and you're blind. Your eyes not only affect how you see, they affect how you feel. It affects your whole being. Clear vision leads to a better quality of life. The eyesight impacts how you perform in work, how you perform in school, how you perform in school, in home. And it's very important we take good care of our eyes. But as much as physical sight is important, there is another sight that's even more important in life. And that is the spiritual sight. That is the eyes of your soul, the eyes of your heart, how Paul says here. In the words of the immortal Helen Keller, the only thing worse of being blind is having sight but not vision. It thinks that's worse than being blind is having eyes but walking through life and not having the clarity of insight vision. not having a clarity of your inside eyes and see things not only through the filter of your physical eyes, but also see the life around you, your circumstances and everything, through the filter of your inside eyes. Most people base their inner life in a function of their physical eyes. Almost everybody do that. People base their inside life, how they feel, their value, their self-esteem, their peace and everything on their outside physical eyes. What their outside physical eyes tell them of the circumstances of life. If things go well, they feel good. If things go bad, they feel bad. If things look scary outside, they're petrified and fearful. If things are comfortable in their life and there is nothing to worry about, they feel good about themselves. If things go bad in their life and the circumstances of life don't click together well, they're petrified. If people have a different kind of opinion about them than they want to hear, their self-esteem and the value of themselves, it goes down. If you look life only with the physical eyes, you're going to see all kinds of scary things. You're going to see stuff in your life that you don't want to see. You will base all your inside life, which is extremely important, on a always changeable circumstances is life. They never come together properly. Sometimes things are well in life, sometimes they're not well in life. And our emotions and who we are and how we feel and all our value about ourselves, it goes ups and down all the time. If you base your, if you look the life only through the spiritual eyes, you will never want it to be on your own. You will always try to escape from the solitude. You will always try to escape from the quietness of day. You will always try to escape from loneliness because you will not like to be on your own. Because it will be scary looking inside yourself and seeing yourself just through the eyes of the physical eyes. And you will always try to be busy and always try to be all kind of precious because it's scary to close my eyes and look deep in my soul because you will be afraid of what you're going to say. Paul writes to believers who are in a such an environment that their value, their honor, respect, their life is constantly attacked by their neighbors. Okay? So they live in a very difficult circumstances. And their neighbors use all kind of tactics of shaming them, put them back in their old ways, talking all kind of things about them, attacking their circumstances, not wanting to work with them, not wanting to have fellowship with them because they're Christians, they're different kind of people now. The fellow Jews don't like them. The Greek neighbors don't like them. They accuse them of all kind of things. If they look life only through the physical eyes, they will see all kind of scary things, all kind of difficulties, all kind of attack on their soul. That their faith will be really under attack and they will constantly be under pressure to leave that Christian way of life and go back in a way of life that they don't have so much pressure. So Paul is never praying for the churches and the Christians in the New Testament. He never prays for them for their circumstances to change. He always prays for them to have enlightenment eyes of their soul, to see things differently, to see things in a different perspective, to see things through the perspective of God, how God sees the things, and when they know Him better, okay, it's going to change their life totally. That's what He does all the time. So to have a spirit of wisdom in Revelation, like he says here, I pray for you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, to know God better, to have eyes of heart enlightened, means to get those heavenly truth about knowing God better, who is God. Get those heavenly truth affecting your life in that kind of way that every area of your life is going to be changed. That you will walk through life in that kind of ways that whatever happens around you, it's never going to affect you. It's never going to take peace from you. It's never going to take value of who you are. It's never going to press down your self-esteem. It's never going to crush you so you're unable to move through life. It's never going to stop you to be productive. It's never going to stop you to have a fullness of life. It's never going to stop you to have all spectrum of the spiritual gifts, all spectrum of a spiritual life that you can bless people around you. The circumstances of life always wants to crush that on us. The circumstances of life is that we live in a broken world. We live in a world that still doesn't belong fully to the God's kingdom. And those circumstances wants to press us down. Wants to press us down. And Paul says, as much as your physicalizer right, I pray one thing for you. One thing for you. Not so for circumstances to change. I pray that God give you spirit of revelation. I pray that God give you the spirit of wisdom so you can know him better. He says, the wisdom for life, it's to know him better. And then he explains more. That means I pray that your eyes of heart be enlightened. I pray that you have a clear vision how things are happening around you. I pray that once when you know God better, your inside eye is going to be clear and you're going to see certain truths that are going to affect your life and your life is going to be amazing. Do you understand what I'm saying about? It's extremely important. So let me tell you what he says. Once when you have a spiritual revelation, once when you have a spiritual wisdom, once when you know him better, once when your heart is enlightened, this is what you're going to see. Okay? And I'm going to show you what he's going to see and how it's going to affect your life. It's the first clarity, he says, when your eyes are open, when your inside eyes are open, when you know him better, the first thing you're going to see, you're going to know the hope which is in him. You're going to know the hope to which we are called. Am I right? Verse 18, the hope to which has been called. A lot of time, hope for people in the world means uncertainty. Hope for a people in the world means I'm hoping, but I'm not sure. I put my hope in this, but who knows, is it going to happen? Biblical hope is different. Biblical hope is a certainty. Biblical hope is a life-shaping certainty that hasn't happened yet, but you know it's going to happen. Okay? And that hope is shape your life. The hope is not just you say, oh, I hope so. It doesn't affect you in any way. The real hope is hope that changes your life. It's a life-shaping certainty. It hasn't happened yet, but you know it's going to happen. And because you know it's going to happen, it changed me today all the time. It changed me today all the time. It's a life-shaping because it doesn't matter with what you confronted, what troubles you. Doesn't matter how hard it is for you emotionally. Doesn't matter how much you don't understand. There is no situation and circumstances that can compromise the true hope. Okay? And that's why it's so life-shaping. Because circumstances can throw all kinds of things on you, but you have a true hope, it's not going to take your peace. You have a true hope, the circumstances are difficult, you're not going to stop because you know there is something there. The circumstances is difficult, you're not going to stop because you know it's going to happen. And then you push forward and you go forward with a smile. You go forward with the peace. You go forward with a good self-value. You go forward with a joy. With a joy the world cannot explain because it's not coming from outside. It's coming from inside. And the world is all confused. How can you be joyful in the difficulties? And you say, I'm a joyful because I have a hope. You don't understand. This hope is so certain that changed me right now. I can go through the difficulties of life with peace. I can go with joy. I can go with love, not despair, but hope. Hope, it's like a ladder that you climb. And we spend all our life with those ladders on our shoulders, trying to find a firm and steady walls in our lives on which we can put those ladders and climb in with the hope that wall is going to hold me. We do that all the time. We think, let me just pass these exams and my future is going to be greater. And you put all your hope on passing those exams. You say, when I just get a driving license, my world is going to change. And you put your ladders on that wall hoping your life is going to change. And every single wall, it's crumbling down. It's unshaky. It's shaky in a broken world. You say, if I just have the eyes of that girl, the smile of that boy, it's going to change my life forever. And then you say, it's not like that. You know, the every perfect figure sooner or later becomes the pear kind of figure. You know, every single eye sooner or later become dumb. That's what the world serves us all the time. You're watching TV and then you see the advertisement says, if you just have this shampoo, it doesn't help me. If you have this shampoo, your life is going to be brilliant. You have this kind of friends and this kind of lifestyle and everything. If you just get this kind of phone deal, your family is going to be so happy and blah, 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 blah. And we put our hope, the ladders of our life on all this kind of walls, hoping is going to hold us, and every single time they just crumble down. We put our hope in our ability to connect, in our own capacity. Everything says around us, you can do it. You can do it. Just trust yourself. Just believe in yourself. Just invest in yourself. Just get your education. Just get security in yourself. That's going to bring me to desirable future. And sooner or later, we take the ladders of that hope and we put on this wall. And sooner or later, that wall is just start crumbling down. Because if something is shaking this world, it's me. Just like you can say for yourself, it's you. My education will bring me future I want. My ability to get people's attention, to marry that person is going to, how many times we make those mistakes, is going to change our lives. And it doesn't happen. And all of us decide to lean the ladders of hope on something that we believe will support and push our ambitions and our dreams for a future. And the only time when we are aware that we live in a broken world, the ladders of this wall are not holding us, is when this wall starts shaking and show the same unstable. And we fall down and we pick up ourselves and go around with the ladders on the shoulders trying to find another wall that's going to give me desirable future. And God just looking and says, I don't care how much you think you're smart. I don't care how much you think you're capable. I don't care how much is big your account in a bank. I don't care how much you know, what kind of connections you have. Sometimes in your life, you will realize that you live in a hopelessly broken world. And there is no steady walls around us. And there is only one steady, firm, unshakable wall that you can take the faith and hope in your life and put your ladders and climb and know this wall is going to hold me. It's our God. And that's He says to those people who lives in extremely difficult situations, much more than us, because for them they're so visible. For us, it's so invisible. We constantly get fed by belief that, hey, you can do it. You can find in the world the walls are going to hold you. And we find out in a negative experience that there is no walls like that. They live in such a difficult circumstances. And Paul says, I pray for you to see what I see. I pray for you that God's give you the spirit of wisdom so you don't allow the world to trick you. I pray that God's give you the spirit of revelation so you can know Him better. But because once when you know Him better, once when your heart is enlightened to see the truth about who He is, you will find out what kind of hope you have. And you will never be tricked again to put your hope in the changeable things in this world. And you will put your hope on Him who never change. Hallelujah. You will see Him. You will see Him. Psalm 42 says, put your hope in God, for yet I will praise Him. That's that certainty in life that doesn't happen yet. But shape your life right now. I will put my hope in God because I will praise Him. I know I'm going to praise Him. He's worthy of that. His ultimate definition of all that is wise. He's everything that has ever been faithful. His supreme and final definition of everything that is good and lovable. He's a wonderfully giver of glorious grace. He's so good. His love is not the love of this world. The love of this world is always changing love. Always depends on something. Some people love you because they have something from that. Some people love you just because you're family and they must love you. But He loves you unconditionally. He always loves you. When everything seems to go wrong, God loves you. When everything seems to go well, God loves you. Through all good and through all bad, God loves you. And you can come to here and you can open the Bible and see. You can see adoption. You can see that He got you in His family. That how much you can trust Him to lie down the ladders of your life on Him. Just as much we're ready to do things for our kids. Doesn't matter how troubled they are, we love them. That's how much God loves us. And He's ready to do things for us. We then find out that in this world we have Father, that we adopted, that He's the King, the total in control of everything. And in this world I can actually walk and I need somebody to hold hand. That moment in your life when you come and you figure out that I've been through so many broken walls that I don't even know how to walk on my own through the life, to see that there is the hand given to you, the hand who says, I'm your good Father, Heavenly Father, and you're my dear son, hold my hand and go through the world, go through the life. It's such a releasing thing. And you better learn that sooner than later. If you want a good quality of life, learn that today. Learn that as fast as possible. Teach your kids that as soon as possible to walk this life holding His hand, knowing that He's only wall in this world, that nothing can change, nothing can shape. Nothing can shape. The clarity number two. I love this clarity because we often miss it. Paul says, I pray for you. I pray for you so God open your eyes. I pray for you so God gives you wisdom. And wisdom is to know Him better and to give you revelation. So when you know Him better, that revelation affects every area of your life. And one of the things that affects every area of your life, you're going to see it, is what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And we go through these words and it's a little bit like a religious mumbo jumbo just goes over us and we're missing what He's saying here. He says that God has inheritance, that somebody died, and that God received glorious inheritance. And you somehow connect that Jesus died and Jesus took us and gave it to His Father. They've been mine, now they're yours. They're your inheritance. And that God has a glorious inheritance. The richest of glory and inheritance that you have in Elsham Community Church. That is amazing. That is an absolutely amazing. God says, my glorious inheritance, the riches of my inheritance, is those people here. And let me help you something when you read in the Bible and when you see you. Okay, don't instinctively in a Western individualistic culture read this, oh, this is me. Oh, mostly, when those people wrote it, when those people read it, the you means collective you. Okay? It says, you, Ephesians church, you are God's amazing, glorious inheritance. And you, Elsham Community Church, wherever you think about you, forget about it. Wherever you think, oh, where is the future for us or whatever. You are God's glorious, rich inheritance. Every single of you. And when God looks you together, says, Elsham Community Church is my inheritance. Do you think I'm gonna gamble my inheritance? Do you think I'm going to destroy my inheritance? Or you think I'm going to rejoice in those people when they are together? Hallelujah. And Paul, when he thinks about things like this, sometimes he gets lost himself in the words. And sometimes he's bursting poetic. So in Ephesians 3, he says, I pray that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints why is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that suppressed all knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Paul usually doesn't exaggerate. Paul usually doesn't do a lot of poetic language, but this time, comprehending about love that God has for us, he just lost totally. Look at the length of love that God has for us from eternity to eternity. There was a moment in your life that you haven't been loved by God. He creates you in His mind in the first place before He creates you. He knew you from beginning to the end. He has a glorious things after life for you. That's how great His love for you. And if you ever doubt about that, looking your past and say, how can God love me? How can He loves you. He loves you. Just surrender yourself to that truth from how big is the length of God from beginning to beginning. He loves you. The high, the intensity of His love. You just need in the middle of night to take your telescope and look the sky. And how great and high is the sky. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He loves you. It's not small love. It's not average love. It's not maybe yes, maybe no. It's amazingly big how God loves you. And if you ever doubt about those things, just remember those things. Just remember how great His love for you. The breadth of His love. His love is so wide that controls everything. All your misfortune, all the bad things that ever happened, all injustice, never outside His love. And we cannot understand those things. We're judging those things through the moment we're going through and says, how can God love me? But God says, wait a minute. And sometimes that minute is this minute. Sometimes that minute is the years. Sometimes that minute is the wait the whole life. And you will see how none, any of your misfortunes, any bad things that ever happens to you, are be outside my design, outside my love. And somehow all those things sooner or later brings to that God's love in us is even greater. Without those things, His love will not be so great. With those things, His love is even greater in us. There is nothing outside control of His love. And then you go to the depth and you say, the God loves me. Look how depth He went to love me. Even to the pits of hell to get my soul from them. To pay the ransom on the cross to love me. And you will never again, never again, never again, when you know Him better, when He opened your life, opened your hearts, when He gives you spirit of wisdom and revelation, and when you go to that how much God loves you, you will never again depend on the changeable opinion of the people about you, around you, about you. You will never again walk this life with the low self-esteem because people treat you badly. People say things that are not true about you. People are having opinions that you don't like about you. Never. Because you will know how much He loves you. Do you understand what I mean? How far away He went to pay the price to be, for you to be His inheritance. Do you know we are sometimes, when we were younger, okay, all of us, imagine dating a girl or dating a boy, and you have, and you're like a packet of cigarettes, okay, where it says everything why you shouldn't buy this product with a picture of the lung cancer. We are like that. Imagine that you dating a girlfriend or dating a boyfriend, you know, and you have everything written in you, all my self-centeredness, all my flaws in characters, all my egoistic desires. Do you think we will ever go to the second date? Never. That's how He's God. He sees all those things. Every single one. From day one to today. He's not everything perfect in us. You know that. He sees all those things and still wants to date us. He still wants to be with us. He still wants to show us a tender love. She still wants to that kind of love to heal our souls and make us better. That's how great is His love for us, because He loved His inheritance. Riches of the glorious inheritance. It's Elshim Community Church. How great is that? When you get here together, you are something great that God wants to show to the whole world. Look, my glorious and rich inheritance. And then He says, I pray for you. The God's open your eyes. I pray for you. The God's gives you the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom, so you can know Him better. Because once when you know Him better, your eyes are going to open so you can see what is immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe. It says, when you know Him better, you're going to find something about you. In you, there is immeasurable power. Immeasurable power for the ones who believe. And then He says, this is what the power is. He says, power towards us who believe according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from dead. He says, That power is the power of resurrection. The power that you have is the power of resurrection. Now, that made me think a little bit. I never seen power of resurrection. I don't believe, maybe you've seen it. I haven't. But if I think about this, how great is God's power, I will think about creation. I will say creation has a great power in itself. God created everything with the words. He just said and things happened. There was once nothing and then everything. And then I will walk and I will see the power of creation again and again and again. I'll walk and see. I watch TV and I see. I watch one of those natural programs about the nature. And do you know that woodpecker can peck the wood 20 times in a second? You try to do that and see what will happen. 20 times in a second, he hits the wood with his head, and he's alive and happy. Do you know why? Crazy. He's a 15 inches big woodpecker. He has a tongue which is 50 inches long. Six inches high, 6 inches long tongue. That means if I open my mouth and my tongue goes all the way down, that's how big it is. And do you know how God arranged so he can hit this tree 20 times in a second and never had a headache? That tongue goes all back his head and his neck and serves as an absorber all those hits. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. That is the power of creation. The God in his thinking and in his creativity create the woodpecker and says, that's how I'm going to... Let's create a woodpecker, a little bird who can hit, what should we say, 20 times in a second? Yeah, let's say 20 times a second the wood. Yeah, but how are we going to sort it out, the problem in the neck, in the head? Well, let's give him a tongue, which is going to be as he high is, and let's wrap around his neck and back, and well, that's a great idea. Let's do it. It's the power of creation. It's absolutely amazing. But Paul says, Paul doesn't take the power of creation, okay, which is a neutral power from nothing creating something. He takes power resurrection, which is the power which from decay and dead and rotten stuff create something positive in life. Do you know the sin came and destroyed everything that we know, and everything decays, and the second law of thermodynamics, everything's going down, and when we die, it's decayed, and the life is just ruined, and everything goes backwards from the moment we are born, we're dying slowly, and all that kind of things that the sin and death affects every single atom of our bodies and our souls and our society and everything. It's such a negative power that goes backwards and destroys everything. And God says, but I have a power to sort it out. That not a power that can just from nothing create something, from neutral state, from your state where you are, people, from your negative decade state, I have a power to bring life. Hallelujah. I have a power where is decay and rotten stuff in your life. I have a power to bring life back. That's what we have. That's what we have. That power in us. That is a good news for us. Good news, because there is so many sensitive parts of our lives touched by decay of death. Our emotions. Let's start with the powerful ones. With emotions. I mean, emotions control us so much. So much. Everything in our lives is controlled by emotions. Every our decisions, our impulses. All life is affected by emotions. I'll tell you what, if we sort out just emotions in our life, we're doing so well. Okay? And God has a power. When we were once born with those emotions and nurtured them and developed them in something which brings death in our lives, God says, I have a power to reverse all those things. I can sort it out, jealousy, selfishness, hatefulness, controlling, anxiety, sadness, low self-esteem, despair. God's power can come in this situation and bring life. And you can literally be the living testimony that once you were like this, now you're like this. You can have be a living testimony of walking the streets and meeting your friends from the past who are almost afraid to see you because you've been such a horrible person. They can meet you again and be amazed how much the power of God changed you. That is amazing. It's so amazing. We have addictions that destroy our lives and lives people around us. There is a power for that. I pray that your God's open your eyes. I pray to see who He is. I pray that you better know Him, because once when you better know Him, your heart is going to be enlightened. Then you're going to see what kind of power you have to break every single addiction in your life. Every single addiction in your life. That is the power we have. Confusion, blindness that comes from sin. That is a difficult things. The most difficult things is not that you do bad things, but you do bad things and you don't recognize it's a bad, and you don't accept them as a bad. And God has the power to break that confusion and blindness in our eyes, that you can finally start form something, that you repent and say, this is bad, I don't want to do this anymore. Sometimes that is the more difficult than changing. Just recognize and admit I was wrong. And God has the power to do that. His power is great. Brokenness, broken controlling experience of past, broken relationships, broken emotions in life, broken health, broken hope for the future. God has the power to restore life in all these situations. And there is nothing better seeing those things happening in the church. There's nothing better seeing people, broken people coming amongst us and seeing the release of the God's power in their lives and lives changed. That is the testimony of God's grace. There is a power to bring His presence to the world and to build His power and army that He can be used to glorify His bride. There is a power for this church to be everything God has designed for this church to be. Again, don't read just like a you, me. Read this as us. There is a power for this church to be everything that God puts on the heart of this church to be. And there is a war room in a God's kingdom. And He's there. And on His wall there is a war map with a lot of dots. And these dots is not New York, Wall Street, Pyongyang, Moscow. These dots are churches, because He knows the power to change the world is His churches. And there is another dot there, that is the Elsham Community Church. It says there is a power, and they play great role in bringing my kingdom, bringing the change in this world. And they're on my agenda, and they're on my map. And I think, and I pray, and I strategize, and I move my forces around to make great things happen in the world to the Elsham Community Church. Amen. That's what God has. God placed all things under His feet and appoint Him to be head over everything. For what? For His church. For His church. He appointed Him to be authority above everything authority. For what? For His church. That's a big hallelujah. Okay? It's not He puts Him there for Himself. He puts Him there for one reason, for His church. So His glory can be shown through His church. His grace can be shown to His church. The fullness of Him fulfills everything in every way through the church. And I'm looking forward to see that. Maybe not in all its fullness from this side of the grave, but one day we're going to sit all together and see how this Elsham Community Church unreels and does things and does things in this generation, next generation. Once we're going to see how through these people and your children and people who's going to come to your ministry in this generation, to your ministry in another generation, all these people you're going to send all around the world, just like you sent me and sent my daughter to London and from London, who knows where. We're going to see how His fullness reach everything in His desirable way through Elsham Community Church. There is a power for that. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I mean? Pray. Pray those prayers. Paul never prayed about changing the circumstances so that lives can be easier. No. Don't change the circumstances. And they've been much difficult place than we today. But I want you to open their eyes so they can see the mighty army. So they can see that God is there for their purpose, for His purpose through the church. So they can see how valuable to God they are. Not in a way that we are small individualistic mindset which deals with me in some happy way, emotional way. No. You are so important that you are so protected and so loved There is no way, no way ever that any kind of injustice, any kind of bad things, anything ever the world and brokenness and Satan can throw on you that can take glory from God. In a moment you may be thinking, yeah, but you don't know my life. But God says, but one day, even that is under my control. And even that is going to be turned around upside down, and you can see how I gloriously show myself through your problems. We're going to be witness of that one day. So let me ask you today, what is the source of your hope, of your worth, of your power? Why is the source of your hope? Do you really still going around, sitting in this place, week to week, again and again? Do you really still trying to find a different wall, a different hope? You should be people who already found that wall. Put your hope in Him. Get to know Him better. Get yourself in the prayer meetings. Get yourself with other Christians and pray to Him. Get yourself in a quiet time with Him and find Him. Get yourself the student of the Bible and find all the beautiful truth that Paul and everybody else wants you to see to open and light your heart. Get to know Him better. And you will see that there is no other wall that is worth putting your ladders of hope than Him. Where did you find your worth? Hey, you are richness of glorious inheritance. That's who you are. Find that. So when you walk this life, your value doesn't depend on circumstances and people and changing public opinion and stuff like that. That is so important for us in Serbia. So important. When I preach this in our church, people find this, because we live in a culture and people, through all kind of devices of shaming, try to get us back to the old ways. So they ruin your reputation, they ruin who you are, they say you're a cult, you're a sect, but hey, you bring the light of truth and all that. We are glorious inheritance of God. They don't know what they're talking about. And then you can walk your life with the head very high, saying, my God is on my side. That is a glorious inheritance. It's not that we have glorious inheritance, but in this context, Paul says, no. It's not that you have glorious inheritance. You are His glorious inheritance, the riches of His glory. Hallelujah. Oh, let's build that kind of churches. Let's build that kind of churches that every single person broken in the world walk through that door, immediately is going to be hit that you're in a place where your value can be restored, where your self-esteem can be empowered, when you can from this place walk the world differently and just present, display God's mercy and love powerfully. Where did you find your strength? Just give up on some things. Just wisely recognize, do I walk this life so much in a hope of my own power? Well, actually, I believe there is a higher power which we don't understand always how it works. That's what we need to admit. We don't understand because it's a powerful thing. It's above us. But I know as much as I walk with Him and as much as I allow that power to work in my life, make mistakes, fall down, stand up, go. Make mistakes, fall down, stay, go again. As more as I walk, the more I clearly understand and I clearly want to depend just on His power. And the more I say that, hey, when I stop being a savior of the world, I give space to the real savior of the world. Man, how much times I try to be savior of the people. I'll help you with this, I'll help you with that, just to feel my little self-esteem, to feel better because they feel people stuck around me and they depend on me in some way. Man, horrible. But the moment you stop doing that, God says, finally, there is a space for me to show my power in people's life, in your life. And the more you rely on His power, the more peace you have and the more fruits you have in your life. So, Elshin Community Church, shall we stand up? Shall we pray? But let's pray for one another because I spoke enough. If I pray, I'm just going to repeat everything again. But I want you to find somebody. Find somebody amongst you. And I want you to look at that person and says, we are. Not you are. We are the glorious inheritance. And then pray those blessings for one another. and make like a step forward in some way. I don't feel like I know him better. And I know him enough. And I want you together with you as a family to get to know him better. Knowing that, knowing better of God, knowing more of God, it's going to release all this power in our lives. Shall we pray? Please, can you, Pete, I don't know, you know, just one or two or three people get together and pray for one another for these blessings. Hallelujah. May God bless you all.